1 Samuel chapter 3. If you're new to Empowered Youth, my name is Courtney Lewis, pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Chicago. We started our church in 2008. We were launched from Fairhaven, and God is blessing our church, and I'm glad that I could be here and preach God's word to you this morning. I want to preach a message entitled, When God Calls Your Name. When God Calls Your Name. And as I got into the message and studying and preparing, this idea of name calling started to come towards me in my mind's eye. And I went back. I was born and raised in Chicago in the projects, and got into a lot of fights. And most of my fights were from telling jokes about people's mamas. All right, those kind of jokes get you into a lot of trouble. But with the message today on when God calls your name, I started getting into a name calling mode, and then some of those jokes started to come back to me. And you got to understand, when you tell a yo mama joke, first of all, you have to say yo mama. You can't be proper and your mama. No, yo mama. All right. Yo mama. And please don't take offense. When you tell a yo mama joke, you're not really talking about somebody's mama. You are, but you're not. Okay? It's kind of like this nebulous mama that's out there that we're all talking about. So I'm not talking about your mama. All right? Now, some of you will take these jokes back to your neighborhood and get beat up. So just be very careful how you use a yo mama joke. All right, so I'm going to go through these, and then we're going to get into the message. Your mama's so dumb, she got locked in a grocery store and starved. Your mama's so dumb, she tried to put M&Ms in alphabetical order. Not smart. Your mama's so dumb, she studied for a drug test. Your mama's so dumb she could trip over a cordless phone. That's dumb. I like this one. Your mama's so dumb she sold her car for gasoline money. Some people just aren't too bright. Your mama's so dumb she thinks a quarterback is a refund. Your mama's so dumb, she took a ruler to bed to see how long she slept. Just a few more. Some of you are writing them down. Trying to just get the CD. All right. Your mama's so ugly, when she joined an ugly contest, they said, sorry, no professionals allowed. Ooh. Your mama's so fat. Your mama's so fat, when she turns around, people give her a welcome back party. This is one of my favorites. Your mama's so fat, she's on both sides of the family. Your mama's so fat, she jumped in the air and got stuck. And your mama's so poor, she bounces food stamps. 1 Samuel chapter 3. When God calls your name. Thankfully, he doesn't call our name that way, but he does want to call our name. I want to preach a message on how God deals with us when he wants to get our attention for a special job. When God calls your name. I'll be preaching about the call of Samuel to the office of prophet, and this call took place some 3,000 years ago. But what I want to stress at the beginning of the message is God called Samuel when he was young. When he was young. And God looks at the youth here today, and God says, I want that energy. I want that excitement. I want that vibrancy. You see, God wants you in your youth while you're still young. It's very special when someone calls you by name, isn't it? When they remember your name, instead of saying, hey, we say, hey, it's for horses, right? But it's special when they remember our name. I came to Fairhaven, I think Pastor Zdarsky brought me here when I was about 12 for the first time. In fact, I'm sure I was 12. And I started coming around for college basketball games and preaching conference and all of that type of thing. And maybe you have felt that way here or some other good place. It shocked me how people in a huge place like this knew my name. And I'm not the greatest with names. And I'd just be walking down the hall and, hi, Courtney. Hi, Courtney. Like, I don't have any idea who this person is, but they know my name. And it makes you feel special. We need to remember that God is the God of the individual. He doesn't just want to speak to us collectively. He wants to speak to you individually. Abraham was called by name. Saul of Tarsus was called by name. And as we're going to see in our passage, God knows how to get our attention too. And he does know how to get our attention. Maybe you feel like some of these sermons this week have drop-kicked you over the moon in a good way. In the sense that God brought that message just for you to get your attention about some things going on in your life. I'm glad that God still speaks. Heaven will be heard. But when he calls, how are you going to respond? I'm sure that there's unfinished business that needs to be accomplished. Say why? Because the week isn't over. There's more time left. And I'm sure there's unfinished business that needs to be taken care of. How will you answer when God calls your name? I happen to be the proud owner of the world's dumbest dog. He's a total retard named Sonny. And he's free. Anybody want to take him? You can have him. But he runs away sometimes, away from home. And I can see myself right now standing in front of my house watching Sonny just take off down the sidewalk. Gone. And the louder I call his name, the faster he runs. He looks back with his tongue hanging out and goes faster in the opposite direction. When God calls your name, are you going to be like my Jonah dog? It's my Jonah dog. Are you going to go in the opposite direction? He says in Proverbs 1, because I have called and ye refused. Here in 1 Samuel 3, God had a person that he wanted to call by name, Samuel. And this was a great turning point in Samuel's life, because up until this point, Samuel lived under the umbrella of a very godly mother, a faithful mother, a prayer warrior, a woman who would visit him year by year and bring him a little coat, no doubt some encouragement as he was a helper to Eli. And I'm convinced that there are young people here this week that also are being raised by some Hannahs. You've got a Hannah back at home, a godly mother who maybe works on a bus route or teaches a Sunday school class or helps as a church secretary or helps clean the church, nursery, ladies outreach. Thank God if you're being raised by a Hannah, but even if you are, like Samuel, you need to hear from heaven yourself. Not just a tradition that's been passed down, but personal experience. And God needs some Samuels here today that he can call, not just for full-time Christian service, but for anything he wants done. As long as God has work to do, he's going to need some Samuels to get it done. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show unto Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for empowered youth. I thank you for what it means to these young people. I thank you for every youth leader, pastor, that saw the importance of making the time to bring these young people under the sound of your word. Now, Lord, I can do nothing without your strength, but I do want to be used of you today. And I pray that you would fill me with your power to preach this message, and that you would accomplish something great in the heart of these young people. Lord, I pray that you would challenge some young person to listen for their name being called by you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God will call some of you into full-time Christian service. There's just no doubt in my mind that if the Lord doesn't return, some of you will be called in the full-time Christian service. Some of you will be pastors. Some of you will be on the mission field. Some of you will teach our children in our Christian schools. Some of you may be a church secretary. God will call some of you into full-time Christian service, and I'm excited about that because we're heading into some dark days. God will call others of you, maybe not to be in full-time Christian service, but you're going to be called upon to take a Sunday school class and be a help to your pastor. God's going to call some of you to work in the bus ministry. And that's how I got to church as a young person, riding on the bus. And God's going to summon some of you young people not to just bounce on that bus with the kids, but to captain that route. God's going to call some of you to spiritually adopt a family, to bring them under your wing, to be a blessing to them. Some of you guys, God's going to call you to the office of the deacon and use you in your local church. God will call some of you to help in the very youth group that you're a member of right now, or some other good youth group in our country or around the world. God will call most of you to be a husband or a wife or a parent. He will tailor make the calling for you. Now listen, God wants to use you somewhere in His work, and He's going to let you know. How are you going to respond? You're going to go join the military? When God called Saul of Tarsus, He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now, God called me to preach. And unless I lose my mind, I'll never forget that time in my life when God was calling me to preach. Pastor Zdarsky probably doesn't remember, but I came to him at about 13 and I said, "How do you know if God's calling you to preach?" And he just looked at me and said, "You'll know. You'll know." And then I answered the call, and then I came to Bible college here. And God worked on my heart about starting a church in Chicago. That old evangelist, Herb Hoover, got up and said, "Hey, we could start 100 churches in Chicago and not one of them would touch each other." And the Holy Spirit told this bus kid from Chicago, who didn't especially think he'd go back, "You're going to go back and start a church." And then God told me the neighborhood He wanted us to go to, Hyde Park. And I was just around passing out tracts, knocking on doors and praying and asking God, "Where do you want me to go?" And I found myself in Hyde Park and I talked to some teenagers on the front porch and asked them if they went to church. They said, "We used to. Some church used to come pick us up, but they stopped." Holy Spirit spoke to my heart right there and said, "Hyde Park." Samuel was a miracle child. He was an answer to his mother's prayers. His name means asked of God. And there are some Hannahs at home right now praying that God would use some of you. She said, "Lend me a son and I'll give you a servant." When Hannah gave Samuel to Eli, he became his little helper. And the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 1, that this child ministered unto the Lord. He was a child, but he ministered. He was a child, but he ministered. I echo what Pastor Dameron just said. Find something to do for the Lord now and get busy ministering to Him even as a child. Now, why would Eli, with two big overgrown sons, need a little, probably 13-year-old boy to come and be his helper? The reason is because Eli's sons were wicked and they weren't going to change. And the reason why some of us pastors need some of you to become Samuels is because we've got some wicked adults in our church who just aren't going to change. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision, the Bible says in verse number 1. This means that God was quiet and He didn't speak openly to man on a regular basis. Now, He spoke sometimes. When the Bible says there was no open vision, He did speak sometimes. Look at chapter 2, verse number 27. "And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house. So a man of God did speak to Eli during this time, but God's word was rare in those days. It was a time of spiritual darkness. And God's priest, Eli, was unclean. I want to say that God's word is rare today. And if there's ever a time that God wanted to call some people into his work, that time is now. And just because Bible colleges aren't turning out preachers and preachers' wives like they used to, doesn't mean that God's not calling. It means that people aren't listening. God's word is rare. Not because there's a lack of churches. Listen to me. Churches are a dime a dozen today. We've got plenty of churches. All kinds of churches. This is the day of churches. Big churches. Smaller churches. Beautiful churches. Ugly churches. Rich churches. Poor churches. Growing churches. Dying churches. Churches are as abundant as Coca-Cola. Churches are as abundant as Chevrolets. They're all over the place. When we say God's word is rare, we're not saying that there aren't churches, but we are saying that there's a lack of churches where they preach the word. There's a lack of churches where there's aggressive soul winning. There's a lack of churches where there's preaching on modesty and preaching on the family. Dating standards. God's word is rare. It's precious in these days. And young people, we need some Samuels. And some girls that'll marry a Samuel. Eli served God at the tabernacle with his little assistant. Eli was old. He couldn't see very well. His eyes were dim. Before the lamp went out, Samuel was already sleeping. He was exhausted, no doubt, from the day's work. Why? Two big, overgrown, lazy sons that were out being wicked, and an older man who could barely see. I see that Samuel was very busy doing probably most of the work. And when we're sleeping, the flesh doesn't like to be disturbed, does it? Oh, it's exciting at Empowered Youth. Oh, I want to wake up at 4 a.m. And I want to get my shower and get going. But how do you feel back at home when the alarm clock goes off and it's time to get up to go to school? It's a little different. Flesh doesn't like to be disturbed. But can I remind you that Empowered Youth is a time that is specially designed to do just that, to disturb your flesh and to wake you up out of a spiritual sleep. God called Samuel by name. And he answered, "Here am I." The problem is he answered to the wrong person. He ran to Eli and said, "You called me." Eli said, "You're hearing things. Go back to sleep." But man wasn't doing the calling. And by the way, when God's got something big for you to do for him, he will do the calling. He may use the preacher, but it's him that's calling. The Lord called Samuel again the second time. Eli said, "Go lie down. It's not me calling." Would you look at verse number 7? Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. What does that mean? He was serving God. He was in a ministry. It means he didn't know all of what was happening. It means he was inexperienced in the things of God. And so God called a third time. And then Eli had a duh moment. Duh. It finally occurs to Eli that God was calling his little helper. And Eli coached Samuel on how to answer the next time, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And God called the fourth time. This time he called Samuel's name twice. "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Then God speaks to this child on how he's about to destroy the household of Eli because of his wicked sons. Pastor Lewis, that's all fine and dandy, but what does that have to do with me? Number one, God called Samuel's name during a time of isolation. God called Samuel's name during a time of isolation. Samuel was away from the home of his birth when God called him. His home was in Ramah. Turn back to chapter 1. His home was in Ramah, but the tabernacle was over in Shiloh in a different place. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim. Be glad that's not your hometown, that you don't have to spell that name. Ramah, we'll call it, of Mount Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. If you mark your Bible, I'd like for you to circle the name Ramah and the name Shiloh. Leaving Ramah to worship in Shiloh. Two different cities in the same region. And here's the point. Pay attention. God got Samuel away from his mama's Ramah and took him to God's Shiloh. You need some time alone. It's a sign of weakness to not want to be alone. If you always have to be around the crowd, if you always have to be under mama's wing, I've got some advice for you. Get up from Ramah and go find a Shiloh. Samuel was away with Eli from the tender hand of his mother. Samuel was away from the strong hand of his father. And God isolated Samuel in order to speak to him. He called him during a time of isolation. You need time alone where God can work on you. That's one of the best arguments of going off to Bible college for at least a year to let God work on you away from your mama. Find a Shiloh. Now, I didn't receive God's call to Chicago until I was here at college, until I was away from my Ramah and I found my Shiloh. Now, God did a lot of work back in Ramah, in my youth group, in the Christian school I attended, going to the youth rallies, in my church. God did a lot of good work in Ramah. But there had to come a point in my life where God had to bring me to Shiloh in order to really call my name. You need a Shiloh. That's what's good about empowered youth. You get to go to a place that can be your Shiloh. You can spend time away from your mama, even if she is a Hannah. Did you hear that? Even if she is a Hannah. Why? So you can get preached to. So God can work on you. Listen, sermons like this could be preached in your home church. You wouldn't have to go anywhere. But there's something about getting on a van or getting on a plane and leaving your Ramah and looking toward a Shiloh. You see, Shiloh draws you out of your comfort zone so you can focus on him instead of you. You say, but I'm from here, Pastor Lewis. I'm a teen from very, where do I go? Oh, listen, Pastor Dameron doesn't just keep you here. That's what those trips are about. That's what those teen trips are for. It's a strong place. It's a good place. But even here, the leadership recognizes that there's a need to go to destination whatever to get you out of your Ramah to go find a Shiloh. We took 9 of our young people to Pastor Starr's camp out in Pennsylvania this past summer. And it was exactly what those young people needed for so many reasons. I'll give you one. In Chicago, everything that our young people see is man-made, basically. Man-made it. But out there in the middle of nowhere, everything they see, God made. It's a time of isolation. And our young people are still talking about it. They can't wait to go back. They found a Shiloh. Before he can really get a hold of your heart, he might take you from your Rhema of Texas, of Utah, of Belize, of Missouri, Wisconsin, Maryland, and bring you to a Shiloh. My Shiloh was preaching conference every year. I haven't missed a preaching conference since I was 13. On purpose. You see, I look forward to it. And I looked for ways to get out of school and be here. I begged my teachers. I told them, hey, I've got to go. It's a church activity that used to work in the public school. But I was going to be here. You see, I had found a Shiloh. Don't treat God's isolation work lightly. He knows exactly what he's trying to do to get you to the place where you can do what he wants you to do. God called Samuel's name during a time of isolation. Number two, God called Samuel's name in a time of quietness. Both Eli and Samuel were laid down to sleep. So this was most likely at night. The Bible says the lamp was still on. Here's the point. It was quiet. The distractions were removed. What a commercial. Come to Empowered Youth. No cell phones. No internet. No MP3 nothing. No magazines. No tablets. No video games. But come to Empowered Youth. Why? To give you some quiet in this noisy world. So that God can call your name. Give God some quiet and he will speak. How can God speak to your heart if your life is so full of noise? How can he? You want God to speak? Turn off some of that technology. Pastor Lewis, the TV's got me by the throat like it doesn't have a power button. Use it. You know, my kids are at home and they're talking and laughing and being lively and having a good time, and the phone rings. They know that they're supposed to shut up so that I can hear the person on the other end of the line. But my kids aren't always the brightest. And sometimes they continue with their talking and they get the look, which is soon to be followed after the phone call by the paddle. And what I'm trying to say is I can't hear them on the other end of the line if the room is full of noise. And you know why God can't call some of your names? Because your life is too full of noise. There's too much noise in your tent. And you can't hear God on the other end of the line. Amusement television, which I think is as much a drug as narcotics. Movies. YouTube. The cell phone. You know, I used to believe, not 10 years ago, I used to believe that the television was the most powerful tool of Satan that he would use to destroy our lives. I don't believe that anymore. It became the computer because of the internet. Satan's most powerful tool. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that Satan's most powerful tool today, if we're going to look at an object, in a practical sense, is that dumb cell phone. Why? Because you can do all of the above with it. You need quiet in your life. Even good things like fellowship can get out of hand. And I know how it is. You come to a place like this, and for me, it's youth pastors and pastors that I haven't seen for a long time, and we renew those old acquaintances. But if we're not careful, we can fill up on fellowship and not get what we came here for. God called Samuel's name in a time of isolation. Get up from your Ramah and find a Shiloh. Secondly, in a time of quietness. Third, God called Samuel's name during a time of confusion. A time of confusion. Verse number 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He didn't know the voice of God. He didn't recognize his sound. And God called, you count them, 4 times. And 3 of those times, Samuel was confused. He thought it was Eli. God will call you sometimes during a time of confusion. And what are the most confusing times of a person's life? Typically, it's when they're a teenager. How do I get rid of this zit that's on my face? I've scrubbed it. I've put chemicals on it. I've tried every product on the shelf. I can't get rid of it. I popped it, and it came back. How do I get rid of this zit? Nothing like a stubborn zit to destroy a teenager's life. But the teen years can be a confusing time, just like Samuel was confused. Should I play sports? Should I not? What am I going to do with my life? How should I dress? Why don't I have a dad? Who should I marry? Why did my mom or dad have to die? I'm speaking from personal experience. Why did mom and dad have to get a divorce? Why did my pastor fall into sin? Will I attend college? What college will I attend? If I attend, where's the money going to come from? You say, why would God call during a time of confusion? I don't know. I don't know why God would call during a time of confusion, but he does. And the Bible says here, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The Bible is full of instances where God called during a time of confusion. Joseph was real confused about Mary, and God called. Saul was confused about Christianity, and God called. Moses was confused. He's looking at a bush that's burning, and it's not burning up. And he was confused, and God called. And it's a good reminder that God's not limited to our state of mind when he calls. He can call anytime he wants to. And the fact that you may be in a state of confusion doesn't mean that the Lord's forsaken you. It may mean that he wants to show you that you have to totally depend on him to sort out the confusion. Notice that the first 3 times God called, Samuel went to who? Eli. Eli, not that he was a good example, but Eli helped to sort out the confusion. God's man is an instrument that God uses to help sort out the confusion. And there are some young people here today that need to go to talk to your preacher. Talk to him. It amazes me how young people, even into young adulthood, will make life-changing, monumental decisions and won't run it by their preacher. You're stupid. I'm just going to go join the military. Oh, yeah, what about that bus kid that needs you to knock on their door? I was one of them. And I'm glad my youth pastor didn't go join the military. Amen. Eli did something right. He pointed Samuel to God. If you're a teenager here and you're confused, let it drive you to God. I was 17 when my mom died of cancer and I didn't have anyone to turn to. I fell on my knees. If you're confused here today, teenager, run to God. Run to God, and God will be faithful to tell you what to do. God called Samuel's name in a time of isolation, in a time of quietness, and in a time of confusion. And then fourth, God called Samuel's name persistently. When God called Samuel's name, he didn't stop because Samuel was confused. Praise God, we have a persistent God. He kept calling on four occasions. And if God's got something for you to do, he won't let up until he gets your attention. Pastor Voglin, when he started this church, fought the call to preach before he ever came here. He had fought the call to preach for 10 years. Let me ask you a question. What if God had stopped striving with him after about 6 years? That's enough time to make up your mind on whether you're going to answer God's call. What if God had stopped fighting with him? None of us would be in this room, I don't think. Notice that God will intensify the calling. The fourth time in verse number 10, the Bible says something different than all the other times. It says, and the Lord came and stood. That jumped out at me. It wasn't just that he called a fourth time. He came in probably some type of a visual form and stood and called his name not once, but this time twice. God's persistent. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel spoke. He doubled the name up. God's not going to stop, young person. Remember, it was Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? With Jonah, God intensified the calling as well. He sent a great fish. And I think we've lost the fear of God in this country to the point where we don't think God's got any whales left. You better answer his call before he's got to send a whale. Jonah came and he preached then. When he came out of that whale's belly, he was ready to go shake that city for God. But boy, what if he had just answered the first time? My mom used to tell me, your arms are too short to box with God. And they are. And provided you don't commit some sin that disqualifies you from that calling, he's going to keep on calling. And he's going to intensify that calling until you develop a spiritual receptivity to that call and you relent. God called in a time of isolation. God called in a time of quietness. God called in a time of confusion. He was persistent with that call. And then fifth, I want us to look at Samuel's response to God's call. Verse number 10, speak for thy servant heareth. What was he saying? He was saying, God, I'm your servant. What do you want me to do? Now, who taught him how to respond? Who? Eli. We get down on Eli, don't we? And he deserves it. But he did this right. He taught Samuel how to respond to God. What do you think you've got a youth pastor for? What do you think you've got a pastor for? They're not like an Eli in the wickedness, but an imperfect man who's called of God to point you to God and to teach you how to respond when he calls. Samuel was willing. Are you willing? Man, he saved us from hell. He set our feet upon a rock and established our goings. He delivered us from the power of sin. We should have no problem echoing those words, speak for thy servant here. When God calls your name, respond. And then quickly, I want to give you the results of the right response. Samuel responded correctly to God's call, and because of this, he experienced great closeness to God. Number one, God shared with Samuel. God shared with him. He told him the plan of what he was going to do. God did not tell Samuel how great he was going to be. God did not tell Samuel how he was going to mightily use him or how he was going to be such a big blessing to Israel. God didn't tell Samuel how he was going to be a pastor of a huge church and that he would speak at many conferences. But when he shared with Samuel, he gave him a blistering message of righteousness. And that's what God wants to put on your tongue, no matter how unpopular you may be. Number two, Samuel grew. The Bible says in verse 19, and Samuel grew. And he needed to grow. You say, why? In verse 15, he was too scared to show Eli the vision. He didn't want to do it. He needed time to grow, not just physically, but spiritually. Number three, Samuel had God with him. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. He had God's presence. Why? He answered the call. And then fourth, God used him. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And get this, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. What does that mean? If Samuel said it was going to happen, it happened. God used him. Listen, I don't know what your calling is. And God's not wanting you to sit there out in a pew and manufacture some call. He wants to call you by name, but when he does, are you going to respond? Say, how do I respond? You should respond in the spirit of the words of this song. The chorus goes, I don't ask for riches. I don't ask for fame. I don't ask that honor be heaped upon my name. I only ask thy presence to ever be the same. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this precious Bible and the accounts of how you dealt with your servants. And Lord, thank you for the parallels that we can draw to our own life. And I pray that there would be some young people here today that would sense your call, that would expect your call, that would be sensitive to your call. Lord, I ask that you would do a good work in our invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed.